how to sell more cars.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the How to Sell More Cars Town Hall and Podcast. I'm the host, Terry Lancaster, the author of How to Sell More Cars. And I'm in the automotive advertising and commercial business. So I'm going to give you my commercial pitch about 30 seconds right up front here. I work with car dealers, putting the right words in the right order to tell the right story. And over the last 30 years, I've helped thousands of car dealers sell millions of more cars by doing just that. Today, we're going to talk about the used car business. My buddy Troy Shear is here with us. Troy's down in Texas, and he is the marketing and communications director for the National Independent Automobile Dealers Association. And we're going to jump right in. How's the used car business, Troy?
You know, from what I'm hearing, things are picking up. It was kind of funny. We're just as I'm down here in Texas, got the Asota guys down here, and that was one of the things they were just talking about. It's kind of right now. It's a kind of the roller coaster thing of the way prices and things are going. But you know, I think as somebody else just said, so it's interesting just hearing some really great things before I hopped on here with you. Is just, you know, it's all about mindset, and if you got the right mindset, the used car business will be great. If you don't, you know, it's just like anything else. You just have to get up and believe that, you know, what you're doing and the things you're doing, the plan you've developed is going to, you know, you get out and execute that and you'll be successful. So it's in a good place. I think now too, with, you know, obviously inflation a little bit higher, that the pre-owned and is the place where more people are buying right now. So I think you'll hear most people say, hey, it's this year can be a good year for us.
You know, I was just looking. I was trying to fill up my head before we got started here tonight, and I was looking at some automotive data. And of course, one thing with inflation, one thing that's been everyone's been talking about is the price of vehicles, and we got the affordability problem in new cars and used cars. The price of both have gone up dramatically. But I was looking at the graphs, and you're talking about that roller coaster up and down. A few months ago, the used car business, it looked like the bottom was dropping out of it. Prices just fell off a cliff, and they seem to have stabilized a little bit now. At least that's what it's looking like. Meanwhile, new car prices just continue to go up because they can't make them as fast as they can sell them. So at some point, there's going to be the affordability is going to veer dramatically toward used cars, I think, if the prices continue to either decline like they were doing 30 days ago or stabilize like they are now. What do you say?
No, I think that's it. As you said, with used cars, I mean, the nice thing about it for a lot of you've already got all your depreciation out of that vehicle. So what you're getting, you're not spending all that extra money. So, I just see it as the year goes through, if everything doesn't go crazy. But I think there's an opportunity. Like I said, the dealers we're talking to across the country, again, say, I mean, they're positive about the year and think that as long as they, you know, you do the right thing. And I think that's the big thing, is just developing the relationships with your customers. When they do that, there's an opportunity to sell. People still have to have a car.
Yeah,
you can't, especially here in Texas, you're not going to get around walking very far. You know, we've got a lot of space. Maybe New York might be a little different, but you know, for the majority of the country, you have to have a car to get to work and do the things you need to do. So you have to have reliable transportation.
There's people are always going to need cars. They tell the new salespeople to take them out on the street and on the road, and every car that's driving by is wearing out just a little every single day. And I've honestly never met a human being who wasn't a car buyer. So they're out there. What are the right things that the dealers you're talking to, what are the things that dealers are doing to get ready to have the right mindset and have a big year?
Well, I think the big thing, obviously, from a mindset is just knowing that while the inventory shortages, you know, are still something that they have to think about, that, you know, the inventory will be out there. You know, that's something to know. It's coming. It'll come back. But I think the big thing is just like I said, is get in that mindset of what can you do to make sure you're taking care of your customer, making sure you're developing those relationships, and knowing that you have to do a lot of different things, being, you know, educating yourself and making sure you know what's going on, just from the aspect of all the regulations and things that are going on, and just being wise and aware. I think that's the thing. You've just got to know all of the things that are happening, and making sure that you're working on your business as a dealer and not, you know, so involved in the day-to-day details. And then building that culture, that mindset across your dealership, making sure everybody, you know, because positivity breeds positivity. And I think that's the thing that we're seeing, especially with our members. It's that there is a positive buzz around things. And if we keep that, it's a culture kind of thing that you've got to have. So that's the process that I think a lot of people just need to go through and slow down a little bit. Don't get too overwhelmed about what might happen and focus on what you can do to control the situation that you have.
Well, I think that's just it. A fish rots from the head and it grows from the head as well. I mean, everything starts at the top. And if no matter what you're telling your salespeople, no matter what you're doing, if you're holed up in your office and you're not out shaking hands and kissing babies and making friends and putting videos on and connecting with the community, you know, the new salesperson sure isn't going to do that. The experienced, jaded salesperson isn't going to do that. It all starts with what's happening behind the big desk. What are you guys doing at NIADA? What are you guys doing to help the big guys get out and spread the word about what they got going on?
I think that it's just it. We've obviously got our big convention coming up. So those are things that we do and really helping from an education standpoint. I think that's one of the big things that no matter where you are as a business owner, if you're a dealership who's been in business maybe a year, two or three, or been in business for 20, 25, 30 years, it's still about understanding what are all the things that are going on and how do you take not just one. I think a lot of times what happens, honestly, as human beings, we're looking for that silver bullet that we can do. Oh, if we just do that. But I think the key is, and what we've seen is you got to take little bits and pieces and keep stacking those things on each other a day at a time, and understanding, you know, the things that you need to do from a operational standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a, you know, understanding data and all of those things. And that's what we're really trying to share. And that the more knowledge you have, the more prepared you are for what you have to do within your business. And that includes, and we've seen a lot of this talking about just networking and doing those things and creating that personal relationship. Because as much as, yes, we're selling metal, moving metal, it truly is about people, whether you're internal, working with your internal team and making sure that you've got your processes in place and all of those things and everybody's bought in, or whether it's the relationship you develop with your customers. There are all the channels that we have, you know, you've got radio, you've got television, you've got just the person to person, you've got the digital media and all these things. Those are all great channels. But if you don't have your processes and your plans and your people in place, all that other stuff is, you're just sharing a most likely a negative message or an incorrect message that's not going to help you. So our focus is really is develop your people and your plans and your processes, and then you can be successful.
Well, here's a big word for the day: symbiosis. And I hope that means what I think it means, with everything kind of working together. For 60-year-olds like me, synchronicity. You got the Police album from back in the day, that everything jiving, where 2 + 2 = 5. Well, you and I were just talking before we jumped in about the Used Car Dealer magazine, which is coming out in the next week or so. I wrote an article in there, so I turned it in, you know, almost a month ago, but it was about how used car dealers are using radio advertising. And what you were just saying kind of reminded me of that, because I talk to a lot of used car dealers about radio advertising. And the more I talk to them, the more the ways they were using radio advertising was less about the platform and more about the ability to connect. They said, and I had guys say, hey, listen, we don't do any radio advertising, but what we do is we have the local morning DJ talk about stuff that's going on at the dealership, or we sponsor every local high school football game, or we use the radio to join in with their social media stuff. But it was all about connecting all the dots. Instead of pushing one button, you're pushing a million little buttons and seeing what forms.
And that's the key. You've got to see what works and being able to understand that it's when you're creating a community, there's no one size fits all of anything, that everybody's going to have a little bit different approach. Again, so you can't look at it so much from a channel perspective until you've got the message and understand what it is you're trying to sell and share in terms of who you are as a dealership. It's about building your brand, whether you're, you know, a smaller, you know, lot that maybe you have one rooftop and you've got 15, 20, 30 cars, or you've got, you know, 7 or 8 different locations. It's still about understanding your community. And I think that's the key, is especially for the used car dealer, is that you have a community around you that you live in and are part of. And when you build that rapport and the relationships and all that, and can build trust and create a brand. And it's not just your name. It's what people know you to be, and what they feel about when they hear that name. It's when you can build that up, all of the other things then become the tools that you use to share that message.
Yeah.
So it's got to start in-house first. You've got to have the right mindset and the right culture in your dealership, and then be able to share that story out in the channels that make the most sense.
Yeah, I was actually talking to a guy yesterday about creating podcasts for car dealerships. And he says every time a dealer, you know, he's having a conversation with a dealer about creating a podcast, they want to have a conversation about educating people about the car leadership, or educating people about what's going on at the store and stuff at the dealership. And he tries to get them to turn that completely on its head. He said, "Hey, let's turn the microscope around the other way and let you look at the community and talk about what's going on in the community and what's going on with your customers and what's going on with your salespeople and what's going, you know, and just turn everything around 180 degrees and make it not about you, but make it find your people." Lift them up, put a spotlight on them, and see how much that gets you.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a could not be a better example of that than what we're doing within the NIADA. And that's been our real focus over the last year, is to get it's about our dealers. It's funny. We actually just kind of had revamped at the end of the year and started this year at the end of Q1, but our new tagline was dealer is NIADA, say that five times fast, NIADA dealer driven. And so again, it's just like you said, we as an association have to look at our members and the dealers and understand what is important to them. You know, equally as a dealer, you've got to look at your community and understand what's important to them, because if all you're looking at is those cars that you have on your lot, you are a commodity, and now you're completely competing on price. Everything is about that. When you look at your community and become part of the community, and you start looking at people and understanding that each one of these people has a reason for needing that car, what they've got going on with their family and in their lives, and you can start creating and helping them understand that you are there to help them get the thing that they need the most to have their, you know, to get to their job, to take their kids where they need to be. Now you've created a relationship, and now that the price of the vehicle becomes much less important. I'm obviously price is always important, but if all you're doing is competing on that, it's a lose-lose proposition. Yeah. So like you said, you've just got to be able to reach out and understand your people. It's a people business. Anything we do, it's a hospitality business, even though you're selling cars.
Going along with that, the whole thing with building a brand and doing all this is your ability to be a storyteller, right? You want to tell your company story. You want to sell the customer story. You want to, you know, let people know about your background. Talking about involving the community. If you've got somebody that you're highlighting, I mean, who knew that your service technician was a member of this civic group, and that this is what something that they're doing, and they have the walk to end Alzheimer's or something like that they're promoting for, and it's just in time that we can talk about that or whatever, and just bringing these things to light and sharing with the community and giving them a little bit larger audience, and that's perfect. That's exactly how you bring people in and set yourself apart from the, you know, it's all about me and everything with the other dealers that you're in market with. You know, if like you said, if you open the book up and you say, look, this is Tom's story, and you tell that story about Tom, you tell what Tom's all about, and you bring him in that way, that's how you're going to be able to engage with your people.
And it's a million times more interesting. And listen, here's a little trick. I mean, you're all here. This is me doing exactly the same thing. When, you know, I started, I've been doing this a while. So I started just like everybody else. I turned on a camera, started talking about me and started talking about my ideas and what I got going on. And after a while, I kind of got sick of listening to myself talk. And I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to have my friends on and I'm going to make them run their mouths. everybody has a good time. And it's much more human than always trying to thump your chest like you're an orangutan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's only so many times you can tell that story too. I mean,
yeah.
Let somebody else have a shot telling this, or let them tell your story for you. You know,
yeah. Maybe
a different way of saying it, or they're going to bring to light something that you may not have, you know, thought of mentioning, you know, because yeah. That's something that they saw in you, you know. I much prefer to, you know, kind of let the work speak for itself and just let me brag on you a little bit.
Yeah. And so in terms of marketing, this is exactly that. You know, I can stand here and tell you what a wonderful guy and great human being I am all day long. William, you could talk about the great car deals you got. And, you know, Troy, you could talk about how the NIADA is changing lives for dealers. But you know, that's what people expect us to say. That's our jobs, to say those things. When we can get other people to say that about us, that's where the honey is. And here's the big secret: is the way to get more people to say nice things about you is to say a lot more nice things about other folks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's take, for example, you know, when I met you in person, Terry, you know, we're there in Nashville. We're going through. I've never been there before, and you were the perfect host. Look, you took us to your favorite chicken place, and we went and had some really good food, and we talked, and we just, you know, got to see the sights. You're like, oh, while you're here, you got to see this. You got to see this. You got to see this. Did you see this? And yes. And like, who could ask for better than having the local guys just basically roll out the red carpet for you?
Yeah.
Hospitality.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I've on this podcast that simple sentiment reoccurs over and over and over again, and it's the beautiful thing that I found out about what I've done is the more I talk to people and they tell me how doing one simple thing for the right reason had all the impact in the world. Whereas you can do 100 and, you know, 1,000 things because it's work. You can dial the phone 1,000 times, but doing the one right thing for the one right reason that you never expect it to pay off, it comes back in spades almost always. And I hear that story over and over and over and over again.
Oh, complete, Terry, it's what I've seen in my lifetime is the more that you do for others and don't think about the financial reward or the rewards you're going to get, you know, taking care of your people, taking care of your customers, when you do that, and that is your mindset and that is the focus you have, the revenue rolls in almost, you know, I don't want to say automatically, but
right.
By doing the right thing and taking care of people and having that hospitality mindset, the revenue comes. I mean, obviously you can't, you got to do things from a business process standpoint and all those things so that you're not, you know, doing dumb things from a business perspective and losing money. But as far as that money coming in, it's all about taking care of people.
Yeah.
If you have that mindset, the money will come.
Well, and we know we got to take care of the customer. Customer comes first, but let's talk about taking care of our people. Let's talk about taking care of the people inside the building. William and I have talked about this several times about involving the people in telling the story of the dealership, involving the people in putting on the face and the show that is every day in the car business. How is NIADA helping dealers attract employees, retain employees in this crazy market, and then get those employees to be the best they can be?
I think exactly what you said there is you have to have and get the leader in the mindset of the leadership is that when you take care of your people, when you give them ownership, when you trust them to be able to be that storyteller and let them have ownership in what's going on. Now you've got to set up, again, it boils back to culture. If you set up the right culture, and that's one of the things we're sharing, in our education and in our messaging is make sure you develop a people first culture. And again, that doesn't mean a lot of times you start talking about that things and people, they take it as, well, you know, unicorns and rainbows and everything is, no, that doesn't mean that there's not accountability and all of those things. But when you hire people, when you bring them on, when you train them right, and when you teach them, and when you bring the people that have that fit in with your culture, and then you give them the authority to do the things that they can do to help the customer, where they don't have to come back to you and ask every time, and they start feeling like, they are empowered and that they have ownership and they truly are part of what you're selling, you know, the brand that you are building, then they can get out and do a much better job then of loving on the customer. Yeah. Because they realize too, it's like, wow, I'm being loved by the leadership at this dealership. I want to turn around and share that with my customers. So it's really a simple but not easy thing, if that makes any sense.
You know, I was just looking at a graph. And this had nothing to do with studying for today, but I saw this as I was getting ready to come on. A buddy of mine, Matt Collier, he wrote a book called How to Market Like a Rock Star. And he posted this graph today that said most businesses, and so I'll put most dealerships in this category, they spend most of their time going after new customers because that's the big market. There's new customers. That's this big chunk, and we all want the new customers. But then as you go out, the numbers get smaller and you have existing customers, which is where I think a lot of the honey is. And I spend a lot of time talking about retaining those customers and building those relationships and creating that community. And then Matt took it even one step further. And he talks about your most valuable customer base is the smallest. And that is your brand evangelist. So in this case, it would be your dealer evangelist. And that's what I tell every dealer is that your dealership has you have 50 to 100 either you and your wife or 50 to 100 employees, whoever depends on that dealership for their livelihood, they should be an evangelist for that dealership, but they're not going to be evangelist unless you grab them and hug them and make them feel the love.
Completely. No. And like you say, it doesn't have to be your salespeople. It can be the people that are the accountants or the service team, whatever it is. If like you said, if you establish that culture there that they're important, they're going to go share that. People ask, hey, what do you do? Oh, let me tell you. Well, now there's again, that human connection. When you create that human connection with everything you're doing there from a, you know, quote unquote sales process, you're doing all the right things. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to get everything that's going to happen. You know, hey, we're going to start talking great today and tomorrow we're going to have people beating down our doors. It's not that. It's establishing that foundation. And then knowing that as you keep building on that, it just gets better and better. And like you said, the customers you have, that's a key too. The people that are there, make sure that you develop that relationship ongoing, not just when they buy the car, but for the rest of their life, you know, making sure that you have a relationship with your customers is going to help keep them there. And then they become your brand evangelists as well. And now all of a sudden you've got, instead of having the three or four salespeople you might have on your staff, now you've got, you know, tens, if not hundreds of other people out there selling your brand for you and sharing that and getting things out. And we all know it's like, if so, you ask me, hey, what experience have you had with, you know, whatever the case may be, I give you a good story and a good, hey, this was a great experience. You need to go here. Well, now it's going to be a lot easier for them as the dealership. When you come in, you've already kind of, the walls are down and now you can actually have a conversation about what your needs are, how they can meet those needs and all that. So it becomes much less about the that hard sales process. It's, again, take your time, build that relationship, and you can have ongoing customers for years and years and years. It's that lifetime value.
Enthusiasm is transferable, baby. Enthusiasm is transferable. So I'm going to ask you this before I forget, and this is just purely for my own interest. I know that the EV world is a big deal in the franchise dealer situation. You don't want to get any franchise dealer started in on a conversation about the EVs of the world and what's going on. What's happening in the used car world in terms of whatever this push is to become all EV?
I still went with that with a lot of the pre-owned. You're still looking. I mean, there are some, but it's a small percentage right now. The majority are still the, you know, internal combustion.
Right.
So I just don't know. It's one of those things where as we go, there's, you know, it's speculation of kind of where we are at. So it's just hard to say. It's like we have to kind of just watch the data and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a moving target, and I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going to go on and how fast it's going to go on. But as with any crisis, there's always opportunity. So that, I mean, the new car dealers, some of the new car dealers may be, it looks like, trying to get be boxed out of some of the profit the way the, you know, with the changes in franchise laws. And if that is the case, it may open up opportunity for independent dealerships to fill some sort of role, whether it's charging stations or delivery services.
There's all. And I think the key is just listening to your customer. Yeah. And knowing, again, because we talk about as a used car deal, you've got a smaller geographic footprint that you're living in. You've got that community around you. And if you listen to your customer, then you know. And that's where you, again, have to have that relationship and being able to, as you said, you know, reach back out to that customer and go, what is it that you need? What do you want? Well, if the customers are saying, hey, we want to buy EVs, well, that's what you do then from an inventory standpoint, that you're going out and looking for those vehicles that your customer wants. Because if you're just going out and kind of hit and miss picking, you know, picking inventory that the people in your area, that's not what they're looking for, you're not going to sell as many. So you've got to understand, and that's where you kind of look at data. Obviously, you have to, so that ties back into a whole nother topic that we could probably talk about for hours, but just about the data that you have as a dealer, understanding what are those vehicles that sell the best in your specific geographic area. Because what might work, you know, in a certain area here in Dallas, you know, you go 15, 20 miles away, that neighborhood is completely different. So it's going to be a different need and want from that customer base. So again, it's the trick is making sure you understand what it is that your customer wants.
And I think you pointed out the important part there, that's the same thing. Listening to your customers and analyzing the data, that's the exact same thing. Because at the end of every data point, at the end of every lead generated, at the end of every one of those numbers that we kind of get lost in, there's a human being. And that's where the story is. That's where the magic happens. William J, it's 7:30, so I'm gonna let everybody go. You got any questions, comments before we hit the road?
Well, you know, with the thoughts on that, I'm just saying, you know, we do our best to source locally, you know, from our client base, and then we haven't had that thing coming through. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with EVs? I mean, we might find another situation like Cash for Clunkers, where we bring them in on one fell swoop, just like that, just to send them all to the crusher. Right. You just never know. But that's a story for another time when we feel the crunch drawing near. But I just appreciate you guys sticking around, having a little conversation with me tonight. It's been fun.
Well, I appreciate you always hopping in, Troy. Last word for you. Tell us what you want to tell us.
Well, I guess the big thing, like we said, talking about education and all those things, I would just reach out to, you know, any independent dealer anywhere in the country that's watching and understand how important it is to be part of your state association. You get involved there, because one of the big things is that we haven't talked about it all tonight, but is a lot of the regulations and the government things that are going on in your state government and your federal government, getting involved with your state association, which once you've done that, you're automatically a member of NIADA. That is a great way to have your voice heard. And it's, you know, each one of these dealers, as I say, you might be an independent dealer, but you can't grow independently. You got to get out and be able to get with that association. And now your voice can be heard, because instead of just your single voice, you've got the state talking about things going on in the state. And then all of a sudden now, as you look at with NIADA, we have, you know, 14,000-15,000 members right now. That's a lot of voices being heard when you talk about going to Capitol Hill and being able to share your ideas and opinions of what needs to be done from a regulatory and, you know, legal standpoint, from laws and things that are being there. So I would highly encourage anybody, like I said, it's the educational process, and being able to continually grow is a huge thing. And one of the things that we do every year, we've got coming up in June, is our convention, the NIADA Accelerate 2023 convention, out in Las Vegas in June 19th through the 22nd. And the educational opportunities that are going to be there, I've been blown away just being on the backside of this thing, kind of seeing what's being created in the classes and the education. And we got Sugar Ray Leonard actually with that, is going to be our keynote speaker. Carfax is a sponsor for that, bringing him in. And just so many things FTC related. So there's just so much learning. And plus, you get together with, you know, 1,000 other dealers. Now you're going to be able to learn and share best practices and all that. So I just highly encourage people, like I said, to get involved with their state association, get involved with the national association, so that we as a can build that independent dealer community and make sure that it is always working to the best it can to help take care of its, you know, the customers that they want to take care of.
I think with everything in flux the way it has been for a little while, that voice on the Capitol Hill of wherever your capital is, that's more important than it's probably ever been. At least seems to be to me.
Completely. And like I said, if you're just an individual, it's hard to get there. But when you've got, you know, hundreds or thousands of other voices speaking, they start paying attention.
All right, boys, I appreciate you. Everyone, William, do you have something to add?
I was going to say, jumping off of that, it was actually leading me to something else. Since we did start talking about marketing on this conversation to begin with, you know, that's really the key to anything is to grow the movement, right? So if you're talking about whether you're an individual salesperson or you're independent dealer or whatever, and you're trying to, you know, get your voice heard, get the masses surrounded with you, get involved. If you're working in one of these dealerships or whatever, get involved with an organization like BNI or Toastmasters or something like that, where you can recruit people to go out and spread the gospel of Terry Lancaster or whoever else and get them to preach the word there. Because honestly, if you're not doing that, then you don't have that buzz going. That's all it is. Bee will make just a little bit of noise, but a swarm, you know, you're going to hear that coming from a long ways away.
Social sales. And it's not about social media, Facebook or Instagram. It's about being social. It's about one human being plus two human beings plus four human beings plus eight human beings. That's all it is.
That's it. Giver's gain. That's one of the things we talk about in our meetings every week, right?
There you go.
I'm not looking out for your best interest. You're going to look out for mine.
Yeah. All right, boys, I appreciate you, everyone. Have a good night. Go enjoy your dinner and love y'all. See you next time.